My heart is full this morning. I have been teaching for a number of years. And whenever it came time to be talking about God's sovereignty, I put it off. It's a difficult doctrine to go over. There's so many different avenues that you could go to. Avenues meaning there's a lot of different rabbit trails I could go down. And I get distracted easily, and I like to go ahead and explore everything at once. And then when you do that, nobody gets anything out of it. I've never felt the call to really bring the message, either in teaching or preaching, until this week. I had something completely different picked out. But this is something that every disciple, every born-again Christian, needs to go over and go over it again. It is so important. It is so vital a subject that we need to understand just how awesome our God is, how great He is. And I've been a holiness preacher, a holiness teacher for quite some time, but this adds to the attributes of God Himself. Recently, I heard this little joke about a little boy named Johnny. I always like a little illustration with a little boy named Johnny. Right, John Bob? And I think you could all identify with this little boy, Johnny. It was a Sunday morning, and he was having a hard time getting dressed for church. We've never gone through that, have we? He was doing his best, but time ran out as his parents were impatiently calling his name. He didn't want to be late, so he ran as he prayed this prayer. Dear God, please don't let me be late. But right after that, he finished praying, and then he tripped, and he fell, tumbled head over heels. Then Johnny said, got up, straightened all of his clothes out, and he looked up and he prayed. He says, thank you, God, for helping me, but next time, please don't push me so hard. Johnny understood the main point of our message this morning. He knew that God is sovereign, that God controls everything. Everything. We've talked about it in our prayers and concerns this morning. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, it says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Let me read that again. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Think about that for just a second. As we continue to get into our message, I'd like for all of us to, as we said earlier, before the service completely started, is to be silent before our God. And as we close our eyes, as we pray before the message, I want you to think about what you think about God. How is it we think about God? How does God impact our lives? What importance do you have for our sovereign God? Where do we fit? Let's pause for just a second. Father God, we ask that you would direct the hearts toward you this morning. We pray, Father, I pray that you would find the words, your words, in Scripture. That as I give the message, Father, that you would be glorified, that you would be exalted, that there would be nothing muddied by my own personal belief or my own personal ideas, my own personal vision, but that the word comes from you, because we have a sovereign God that needs no help. Father, we pray that you would touch not only the message, but the hearts that hear. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Scripture affirms both the divine, sovereign, and human responsibility. There's two things. There's God's sovereignty, and then there's a human responsibility. We can say that God is God. That's great. But what responsibility do we have just knowing that God is sovereign? We must accept both sides of this truth. It doesn't have to be one or the other. They are both true. We must accept both sides of truth, though we may not understand how they correspond to one another. Why do things happen? Why did this happen? Why was I born this way? Why does this happen? We've just talked about some of the grief that we've endured the last few weeks, either with COVID, with death, whatever it might have happened. Things happen that we just don't understand. Here's the definition of God's sovereignty in a nutshell. Now, this is something that when I was growing up, I didn't even know what the word sovereignty was. It was just something that was preached about sometime, touched upon in the pulpit, that we just didn't have a real full understanding. Maybe it was preached, but my ears did not hear. The definition of God's sovereignty is total, absolute authority and control over everything. Simply put, it means God is absolutely free to do what he wants, when he wants, where he wants, how he wants, and to whom he wants. Kind of like our 3-year-olds, right? They think they are autonomous. They think they can do anything they want to. Let me ask you, have you ever in your lifetime thought you knew it all? Seventeen, sometimes younger than that. Did you ever think that, hey, you know, I wish I knew then what I know now? Oh, yeah. We never get to the place where we actually know it all. So we need to put ourselves in obedience to someone who does. Someone who has absolutely authority and control over everything. And as we explore the attributes of God, to understand the holiness of God, we must understand the sovereignty of God. Let's do this by letting the Word of God speak for itself. Not from me, not my experiences, not what I study from somebody else, but from the Word of God. Look in your books. I'm sorry that Kayla's not here. In her songbook? Look in your Bibles to Psalm 103:19. Psalm 103:19. This is what the Scripture says. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. His kingdom rules over all. Period. We don't get to say, God, can I object? Can I have a little word with you on this? I don't quite agree. No. Ephesians 1:4. I want you to start flipping through the pages, okay? Ephesians 1:4. In the Scripture it says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Here is the Creator God. God was God before there was any creation, before there was anything formed, before Genesis 1, before anything, God was God. He looks and says, you know what? I have created it, and I chose my creation, the earth, as my footstool. All of creation is like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to put my feet up. That's what I think of you. Not that it's negative. It's that he has created everything. And he is free to do whatever he wants to, when he wants to, how he wants to. How does that make you feel? I object. You're just one of my created. Is this starting to resonate a little bit? Who God is? You can look up one of two verses because they are identical. If you're closer to Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, Moses is speaking. Or if you want to look up Romans 9:15, in which Paul is speaking. Paul is quoting the Old Testament here. In that it says, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. God is under no obligation to anyone. Wow. That's kind of sovereignty in a nutshell, isn't it? He can do what he wants to. Going further, in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah chapter 55, 8 and 9, if you want to jot that down. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We are the created. We are but a very dismal shadow of what he intended, even though we are made in his likeness. That doesn't mean we are like God. You know what happened when somebody said, I will be like God. Even the angels were created. We know what happened to Satan. God is supreme. He is total. He's God. And we stand in his presence. And that makes me humble. The humility of some people who stand up and say this and that and I think and I will and I... It's like, no, 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 no. That's not... Here's the difference between God's sovereignty and man's sovereignty. What happens when man gets a little bit too much of himself? We've seen this happen in times and times and times again. Now, this country was a sovereign nation. That means we didn't have to ask anybody's permission. We are who we are. We have the freedom to do this. We have the freedom to do that. But if you take that in a totalitarian idea, and we've seen this with nations, with individuals, throughout history, we look to see what happened in North Korea, which is still going on today. There is a story, and the video just came to me this week, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing the name right, Yonomi Park. And her story is my terrifying escape from North Korea. When man's sovereignty comes to the point where you have no rights, you can do nothing when you want it, anything. She begged for food early in the morning, wondering then what she was going to have for lunch. Okay, a lot of countries are like that. She had no opinion. They would not teach her anything. Her parents could not even say, I love you. No one was permitted to smile. Everyone was a suspect because you don't know who was spying on you. There was no teaching about other countries. It is only what was propagated in North Korea. She was even told how to cut her hair. Her mother and father never told her, I love you. It was not permitted. Everything was done according to the state. And because she was hungry and she saw the lights on the other side of South Korea, she thought, perhaps I might be able to have a better life. That's what it was like. But she escaped and she ended up marrying a soldier here, had a family, and this is her story. She says, the greatest thing you ever saw in your life was an American smile. And I think something we do, the friendliest church in the world, we take it for granted. And she was not permitted to do that over there. You're always afraid of what somebody else is going to say. My own aunt, and she said she pronounced her name as Anna. We said her name was Erna. It was easier to pronounce. As a young child, she grew up in Nazi-occupied country over in Europe. After the war, my uncle was stationed over there. They met, got married, came over here. She said, I will never, never, ever in my lifetime speak another word of German. The atrocities she witnessed as a young child growing up in Nazi Germany was so atrocious, she couldn't speak of it, to the point where she would never speak another word of German. We don't know how lucky we have it in this sovereign country, let alone worshiping a sovereign God. There is a difference. And if you want an example, and I'm going to preach for 2 or 3 hours. I hope you don't. All right. I'm just barely warming up. We even have examples in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, about Nebuchadnezzar and how Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest Babylonian king that ever came, went ahead and invaded Judah and destroyed it, carried them off in that captivities. He carried off the greatest of them all. He didn't want everybody, not just every Joe Blow. He just carried off the best ones. Daniel happened to be one of them, and he could interpret dreams. If you want to read that story, read it, because it shows how Nebuchadnezzar dared God to say that I am sovereign. Look at what I have done. After all the dreams were interpreted, after the image, and he was the golden head, the best of all the nations, the best of anything. And then there was another dream interpreted and says, you're going to, I don't want to say it, but you're in for a rough time. What happened to Nebuchadnezzar? One day he found himself on a rooftop, looking out and says, look at all that I have created. And at that moment, God came down and struck him and says, you don't have anything. You think you are sovereign, the greatest king ever. I am sovereign. He said, for 7 years you will go out and eat grass. Your fingernails will curl underneath your hands. Your hair will grow to look like eagle's feathers. And he became insane for 7 years. Until it says in Daniel chapter 4, and I can't remember exactly the verse, he came to his senses. He came to the realization that, okay, God, you were right. You are sovereign. I am not. And he was restored. That's the difference between God's sovereignty and man's sovereignty. You can rely on God. You don't necessarily be able to rely on your boss, the politicians, Congress, dare say the president, because God works through them. As we've looked in some of the scriptures in the New Testament, you are in subjection to all authority until it comes to the point when it crosses the line, like in Daniel, I will not bow. We worship a sovereign God. Man often abuses power, absolute power, with do whatever they want to, whatever they please. And that usually leads to ruin. God is sovereign. There's 3 points that I want to make. I'm just warming up. 3 points about God's sovereignty. I want you to write this down. It is his right to be sovereign. It is his ability to be sovereign. And the third one, it is his desire to be sovereign. It is right, it is his right to do whatever he pleases. It is the prerogative of the Lord God Almighty to direct the path of all men and his creation for what? For his glory. What does man want to do? We want to build ourselves up like the Tower of Babylon, to be like we can reach God, we can be like God, but it is a deceit that there is only one God, period, and it is his right to do with whatever he pleases for his glory. Now, here's where I want you to write down a verse that proves this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. Colossians chapter 1, 16 through 18. And this is what it says. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Verse 17 says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. He didn't have to make us. He didn't have to create anything. It would not detract from God at all if we weren't here. He would still be God. Doesn't that just blow your mind? He would still be God. The awesome God, the awesome power, the awesome wisdom, everything that we know about God would still be here. But we wouldn't. Why are we here? To give him glory. That is our purpose. Man does things for his own glory. Man falls short, far, far short of the glory of God. Psalm 115:3 says, our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Psalm 135:6 says, the Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on earth, in the seas and in all the depths. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. Now that brings into a question, what is God's will? What is God's will for us? Where does it come into the realm of human responsibility? He has made us in his image. This is what we are to do, is to praise God, give him glory. But first, we must accept what he has given us, because none of this means anything without the Lord Jesus Christ. He made it possible that we would return to him and give him glory. Daniel 4:35. These are the great I ams, okay? I am that I am. Daniel 4:35 says, all the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? God, what are you doing? You need my advice. Sorry. Maybe you meant well. But let me give you some advice, personal advice. I know better. Remember what I said, that sometimes you thought you knew more than the other person, only to find out that you don't know anything? Here's an example, just in my own life. I went to Asbury College. It was college back then, not university. We had a student body of total of maybe 1,200 people. I knew that I had to go to Asbury College. I went to some other colleges, and I thought, no, I just knew it wasn't the place. As soon as I arrived in town, I didn't even get out of my car. As soon as I drove into the town and I saw Asbury College, I knew I was home. There was a calling. I knew God's hand was upon me. But here's where self-will came in. I stayed there till my senior year studying Bible, and I got scared. And I quit. I got scared. Here's where God's sovereignty comes in. As I left the college, and people were trying to talk me out of it because I didn't end at the end of a semester. I left in the middle of a semester. I did not get counseling. I didn't want counseling. I was scared. So as I went into the Air Force, every base I was stationed at, every single one went to the base chaplain, because, you know, I would still go to church, right? Every base chaplain was from Asbury. Every single one of them. If it wasn't Asbury College, it was a seminary right across the street. And we had a bond, and I'm thinking, okay, somebody has a will for my life. So as I left the Air Force and I came back to this area and I went to Decatur to Mountford Free Methodist Church, guess who the pastor was? He was from Asbury and a friend of my family's. So he retired, and I thought, okay, all right. Still, I'm back here scared, wondering what plan he has for my life. And then we get a new pastor. Guess where he was from? Not only was he from Asbury, he was in the same class I was, in the same dorm I was, on the same floor I was. And I finally said, I hear you, God. I hear you. Sovereign God has a plan for each and every one of us. Now, number two, remember I said I had 3 points? Number two, God is sovereign because of his ability. If he said it, surely he has a way to go ahead and get it done, right? It is within his power and wisdom to achieve his intended purpose. So you think you can do this, God? You think you can handle this? You created everything. You keep spinning the world on its axis, and all the universes out there. You think you can keep this up in my life? Yes. If you have been touched by God, he has a plan for you. And he can keep it spinning no matter what happens. Each stitch that we do, every time our hand, every single time something comes up in our life, and your hands are busy doing something for the Lord, he'll make something good come out of it. I don't care whether you're going through grief, whether you're going through a hard test, whatever it is that you are in complete brokenness, God can use that for good. He intends to move his creatures, his creations, all for his glory, no matter what we've been through. Romans 11, chapter 11, verse 33 says this, "Oh, the depth of the riches of his wisdom and knowledge of God." How deep is his wisdom and knowledge that he has the ability to do anything he wants to? How unsearchable are his judgments and his paths tracing out. Now this is in Romans verse 11, or chapter 11, verse 33. And that at the very end, and his paths beyond tracing out. He has the ability. In some versions it says, unfathomable ways, ways past finding out, inscrutable ways, ways that are far beyond anything we can ever imagine. He knows, and it's nothing to him. Whatever we think is a stumbling block to this, I just can't do this. I can't finish college. I can't finish this course. I'm having problems, relational problems with whatever. You fill in the blank. He says, I can. I have the ability. We have an all-wise God. Lord God Almighty is mentioned all through Scripture. He has the ability, the wisdom, and power together, which is linked together. He has the ability. God is all-powerful. God is all-wise. He is all-omniscient. How much more can we say about this wonderful God that we serve? In your relationships that you have with one another, as many of us are married, some of us are just getting started in a relationship. Remember when we were 5 or 6 years old and we thought, hey, you know, Dad, I know you. And you think you know your mom and dad, right? If we are married, after 3 to 5 years, you think, I know you. And I like what I see. But after 10 years, I didn't know that about you. Dad, I didn't know that about you. After 20 years, you thought the surprises were over. But yet God still knows what's going on. He knows what you've been through. After 30 years, 40 years, 50 years... and you're still discovering something brand new about this relationship. That is how our relationship is with God. He knows. He's supreme. He knows everything that's ever happened long before you were ever born. He knows what your thoughts are and what your future is going to be. God, I'm still discovering things about you that I never knew before. What an awesome God that we have. Jeremiah 29:11 says it this. It is a familiar verse with a lot of people. It's one of my favorites. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and what? Not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. This awesome God, this awesome sovereign God cares about us that much that he will not harm us. He will not cause any harm to come to us, that everything we go through is for his glory. And maybe we don't always know what all the pieces are, but he does. And it all comes together. Point number three. Do you think we're done? Not quite. God is sovereign enough through his desire. His desire. He has this affection toward us. He loves us. Why? I don't know. If he knows me that much, it's like, whoa, he's got a bunch of love. John 3:16 said it all. For God so loved the world that he loved even me. In Psalm 135:6, he says, I can do whatever I please and whatever he desires. Whatever he pleases, he desires. He made us. He desires us. Have you thought of that? As broken and awful that we are, this mess, he still desires us. And he has a plan for us. He has a desire to glorify himself. He has a desire to save people. He has a desire to sanctify us. He has a desire to have us grow in grace and knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? His sovereign plan is that we participate with him. Now, how do we do this? How do we get there? How did you get here this morning? In what ways did you get here? Do you have financial problems? You don't know where something's coming from. I drove a Pinto one time, a borrowed Pinto, and we didn't have a car. And you could see right through the floorboard. There wasn't any floorboards. The odors inside was bad. It was loud. It didn't have a muffler. And I remembered, I don't know where I'm getting the next dime. And yet my God sustained me. And he has blessed me through the years. He has blessed me with a church. How did you get here? How did you get to the place right now that you are at in your relationship with God? Because somebody probably told you. That is our responsibility with a sovereign God. That's where we participate with the sovereign God. We tell somebody else how great and wonderful our God is. We have limited vision. God does not. We have limited eyes. I keep going back to the eye doctor every once in a while. We've had eye surgery. We've had Joan has lost her sight. We have problems with our physical sight. God doesn't. He can see way back. He can see us right now, and he can see into the future. And he says, I have a plan for you, and it's to prosper you, not to see you fail. He says, I love you because I desire you. He is the author and a finisher, perfecter of our faith. I'm going to wind this up, but I want to wind this up with a verse that we are all familiar with. And that's found in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Anybody want to guess the verse? 28. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He has absolute confidence because it says we know. He's absolutely in all circumstances because it says all those who love him, we can be absolutely sure that he loves us. Absolutely all Christians in that verse means those who love him. if Jesus has called you, the Spirit has touched you, that's touched your heart, He's calling you to come. This verse is talking about you. Absolutely, all Christians can rest absolutely that God is using everything for good in your life right now. And He is in absolute control at the end of that verse, according to His purpose. Are we called according to His purpose? Have we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? Is our relationship, one, the way it's supposed to be? And two, your responsibility is, what are you going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Sovereign timing, sovereign will, God's sovereignty rules over all. No matter our choice, His will be perfected one way or the other. This is our time to decide if our sovereign God reigns, or if we have rejected the offer. Don't reject God's word, because your eternity hangs on it. As I began this message, I'm going to end with the same verse out of Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. It's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Won't you do something about your relationship with God today? I don't know what it is. That's between you and God, but you have a responsibility to make a choice. That choice, to me, is overwhelmingly, I would surrender all to Jesus, all to our sovereign God who knows everything. He knows exactly how things are going to be, how it's going to turn out. Even though we don't know all the pieces, He will make it for good, no matter what. I've been asked many times that we don't do this enough in church, but in one of the closing that we want to do is to go over the Lord's Prayer. May this be your prayer today. My prayer, as Dr. Dennis Kinlaw, the president of Asbury College, once said, if you are God, I am grateful. When Jesus was talking about teaching His disciples the Lord's Prayer, Dr. Dennis Kinlaw says, He didn't tell them, when you pray, say, Dear Sovereign or Dear Lord. He led them to pray, Our Father. Our Father. As you can see it up here, I want everyone to repeat the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.